There he is.
It's the unemployment hour, Charlie. It's you and me. It's you and me. A boy and his dog. A boy and his dog doing a podcast. We're back, motherfuckers! Woo! Hey, Charlie. Woo! Say, woo! Buh. Buh. Woo! We're back, Charlie. Unemployment hour. It's been way too long since you've had a podcast come up on the Grown Men Coloring Network. It's been a long-ass time. It's been a sad time. It's been too long. And now we're back, ladies and gentlemen, transgenders and transgressors. It is time for the Unemployment Hour. How's it going? I'm your host, Lee Connell, and my dog, Charlie, is with me here. And we're going to try to get some guests on the show today. I don't know how that's going to go, but we're going to give it a good old college try. And we've got Lagwagon. It's Lagwagon Day. It's Lagwagon Day, May 16th. It's not Lagwagon Day. It's June 1st. But I really wanted to do a Lagwagon Day podcast. I want to do a podcast on Lagwagon Day and open the show with May 16th, like I'm doing on June 1st. But I'm always late in classic Lee fashion, as always. He's always fucking late, and he's late today. So how's it going? It's been a busy last little while, hence the lack of podcasts. I had nationals for racquetball, and I went to those. I was working and preparing and all that stuff. And my fucking co-hosts, Bob and Chris, are they're busy too, so it's hard to get them out. And I wanted to do some good old unemployment hours, but I also wanted to do some grown men colorings. So, you know, it just didn't happen for whatever reason. It took me a little while to get out of the dumps, but you get by with a little help from your friends. Nationals was a heartbreak. I lost in the quarterfinals of singles. My good friend Nathaniel Husilak and I lost in the semifinals of doubles, 13-11 tiebreaker, a really close one. And then I went on and lost to James Landerhue in the quarterfinals of singles. So a lot of tough losses, hard to recover from. I've never wanted to win a match more than I wanted to win the quarterfinal in singles. I know that I'm not a great player, but I would just one time, if I could make the national team, if one time I could make a national semifinal, that'd be something really nice to be able to hang your hat on. And if I could have won that quarterfinal and gotten into a semifinal, I may have had a chance to make the national team. But after losing that match, then I knew that I couldn't make it, and that was hard. And I've never been in a national semifinal before, and it really would have been nice to make it. And I didn't. Close but no cigar. The lovable loser, Lee Connell. Lost another one, but it's not from lack of trying. I did my best to quote a Dane Cook joke of all people. That may put me in comedy high water, but I always liked Dane Cook. He's definitely he's no Joe Rogan, he's no Bill Burr, he's no Jim Jeffries, he's no Louis C.K., he's no Brian Callen, he's no he's no Dave Chappelle. He's no Dave Attell. He's no Jim Norton. I like Dane Cook a lot, and he has come under fire. Well, a long time ago, there's been some joke thievery that happened. He stole some. There's pretty egregious. If you look up a video on YouTube, Louis C.K., Dane Cook. Joke stealing. There is a pretty egregious video, but I think sometimes that shit happens. On Louis, on the show Louis, check it out if you get a chance. Sorry, I got a text from my wonderful, beautiful wife. She's just asking me what I'm doing, and I'm going to tell her I am recording a podcast. So that's our first guest on the show, is my lovely wife Lisa, by text message. So she's been a guest on our fine show today. You can look it up. It's pretty egregious, but on they actually addressed it on the show. Louis comes face to face with Dane, And he kind of says, you know, I don't know that you consciously made a decision to steal. I think you saw the jokes and they went into your head and you didn't realize that you saw them and stole them from me and just said them. And I know that's the defense, Robin Williams. Robin Williams has definitely come under fire for joke thievery as well. And that's also what he said, is that he's doing so much ad-libbing and sometimes there's stuff that's in his head and he doesn't even know that's in his head. I remember a story one time about my favorite series of all time, Six Feet Under. And there's a particular episode, spoiler alert, where a guy gets mauled by a cougar. And I remember sitting around with my friends watching that show once, and Bob was there, and he happened to see the guy get mauled by a cougar and die. And then later on, far, far later on, this episode, I think, is in the fourth or fifth season. So him and his wife started watching the show, and eventually, you know, they watched in chronological order, and then all of a sudden there's a scene with the guy hiking, and Bob calls it out right away. He's like, oh, he's going to get mauled by a cougar. And he ended up getting mauled by a cougar. And both of them were like, holy fuck, like, how did he know that was going to happen? How did I know that was going to happen? And then he told me that story. Yeah, we were watching that one time, and I'm like, that guy's going to get mauled by a cougar. And then he got mauled by a cougar, like, oh, look at me, I called it. And it was like, no, Bob, you saw that episode with me way, way back a bunch of years ago, and you knew it was there, and that's why you knew he was going to, because you saw it happen already. That's how you knew it was going to happen. So that kind of thing does happen. I think you can plagiarize stuff or take stuff and not even know that you took it from somewhere. So, you know, anyways, I was always a fan of Dane Cook. I don't know if I still would be if I watched his bits now. I've gotten a lot more into comedy since, you know, Dane Cook was one of the first comedians that I actually, like, downloaded their one-hour specials. I've listened to a lot of better comedians and better one-hour specials since then, so maybe I wouldn't be as big of a fan, but to quote Dane Cook, I did my fucking best. I never cried like he does in that bit, but I did my best. It was a big disappointment, and I was really down in the dumps, and sometimes you get by with a little help from your friends. You know, I came home very sad, it was really rough, and I worked at 4 a.m. in the morning. Once again, the unemployment hour, and he's talking about working. But, I worked, I flew home Saturday night, last Saturday. I got home shortly after midnight, and I had to work at 4 a.m. Sunday morning. I guess my flight, I technically got in Sunday morning, and got in at like midnight or whatever. And then I had to work at 4 a.m., and we did flower pots, and I hauled some flower pots around, and I was around the guys from work, and had a nice breakfast with a bunch of Eggs Benedict at Heritage Inn, and that was really nice, and hauled some pots around and talked to the boys and started feeling a little bit better. Had a baseball game Sunday night at 9, and not going to lie, I was kind of hoping that I would be on the bench for part of it or most of it or all of it, provided that we're winning the game, because, you know, I thought I might be a little tired and I might be a hindrance to my team if I happen to play, and I happened to play. I was needed, I happened to crack the lineup that day. I think there must have been a bunch of our really good players that were missing, but for whatever reason, I ended up playing that day, and I had a good game, and it was great to be around the team. It was great to be around the team after a win, and it was great to be around the team after playing well. And my mood really started kicking back up around. You know, my frown was turned upside down. I was down in the dumps a little bit, and the boys just kind of picked me back up, and I felt a lot better. So yeah, we're on the up and up. It was a tough end to what I think was a good season. Nationals, as Bob has said on the podcast on Grown Man Coloring, that, oh, Nationals isn't, you know, I think out of ignorance, he was like, oh, Nationals isn't really your tournament, you know, you never do well at Nationals. And I've always prided myself as being a guy who does get up for the big event, the big game, and I thought that I was that guy. And after he said that, I kind of looked back at my past Nationals performances, and I was like, motherfucker's right. Like, I haven't performed very well at Nationals.
lately, huh? And this particular Nationals was no different. So I don't know what I got to do in the future to make this correction and play, you know, my best. You don't want to play your best racquetball at Nationals or Worlds, you know, but you got to play really well at Nationals to make it to Worlds. And I don't know that I'll ever be good enough to make it to Worlds, but, you know, I would like to, you know, play my best racquetball at Nationals like I used to. So I don't know what I got to do to figure that out, but I got a whole fucking year to figure that out. Better luck next year. So I got a long time, baby on the way. It's going to be tough, but, you know, I guess I got time to figure it out, and I'll have to make an effort. You know, it's not for lack of trying. The lovable loser will always keep his head up and give it his best shot, and good Lord willing, things will work out. I'll do my best, but I don't know that. I think I've got an uphill battle when it comes to winning. I'll always give it my best shot, and on a good day, I can challenge. You know, I feel like I can present a challenge on my best day, but this winning thing is always a difficult thing, and it's something I've got to learn how to do and continue to work hard at, and I'll do my best. You know, maybe I should just start thinking about doing my best and, you know, giving it my best shot, which is always what I do, but maybe as I've gotten older and, you know, as I've gotten older and better, maybe it's become more about winning as opposed to just playing great. And maybe if I'm able to play great, the wins will take care of themselves. I don't know, but I'm willing to accept all kinds of possibilities and try all kinds of things and somehow result in a solution. So yeah, lots of racquetball talk there. A little bit more for you. Shout out to my buddy Mike Green, our national champion, 11-time singles. 11-time, is that actually right? 11-time singles, 10-times doubles. What a stud. At this juncture, I mean, I know the number one player arguably ever, the number one player in the world right now, and arguably of all time, but the bona fide number one player in the world right now is Canadian. So it's hard to have the best Canadian ever debate, but I mean, I'm sorry, 11 national championships in singles, 10 in doubles. Mike Green does it again. What a stud. What a match. I'm speaking to a bunch of people that probably never saw the match, my whole four listeners, but I hope that it was recorded and you can watch it on video somehow. What an amazing match between him and Samuel Murray, and what a clutch performance. Mike Green lost the first and won the second tight and was down. I think his first lead of the tiebreaker was at 11-10. No, he might have been up early. He might have been up like 5-3 or something. And then eventually, yeah, he didn't lead again until he was up 11-10. In the tiebreaker, he was down 10-8 and just clutch. Just shots. Just unbelievable serves. What a guy. What a player. What a win. I don't, you know, through the 11 national championships that he's won, a lot of them haven't been close. A lot of the times he's blown people out of the water. He's won a few times in the tiebreaker, at least once in the tiebreaker before this last one. But I don't know that any of them have been the kind of point-for-point dogfight like this one was. You know, he was down match point numerous times in this particular time, and what a way to break the record. He wins his record-breaking, beats Sherman Greenfeld's singles national title record. He beats it with a dramatic 12-10 tiebreaker win in an amazing match. So shout out to him, and shout out to my good buddy Trevor Webb. Him and Mike Green won doubles as well, so sky's the limit for that kid. And, you know, both of them, and Trevor Webb too. Sky's the limit for that kid, and Trevor Webb's got a bright future too. sky's the limit for Trevor. Great to see him win. Very, very, very happy for him. Would have liked to have been there in there with them in the final, but Nicolas Bousquet and Tommy Murray are tough. You know, they've They've made three finals, three consecutive national doubles finals now, and we're oh so close in this one. This was 13-11 tiebreaker again. They're a tough team, and it's always fun. It's always fun to be out on the court with them. Nate and I have gone tiebreaker the last three times we played them, and we've lost to them all three times, so that hurts. And two of those three tiebreakers were win-by-two affairs. So, yeah, it's been close against them, but they're a tough team, and they've had our number. So, Nate, shout out to my buddy Nathaniel Husilak. He's retiring from competitive racquetball. He's still potentially going to go to nationals if it's feasible. He's a firefighter, so it's hard for him to fit in with work. You know, he's got to get time off, and he gets banged up playing racquetball. He gets hurt, and it's hard for him to do his job. So it's going to be rough. You know, hopefully he'll still come out and train and practice, and hopefully he'll still manage to get out to nationals and play the tournaments. But it was a fun ride. He beat me in the we played each other in the 5-8 playoff, and he went out with a win. I was getting my ass absolutely handed to me. I think he beat me in the first game 15-1, and somehow I found the muster to come out and really give it my all in the second game, and somehow came back and stole that one. And you know, he and I have had a year, you know, I guess a career of tiebreakers with one another. And I guess careers, you call your career at a sport, I guess that's only something you say when you're really good, just like the good players retire and the rest of us quit. So Nate definitely can call it a career, and he can say that he's retiring. Myself, if I was to end, if I was to hang up the rackets tomorrow, it would be quitting. And I don't know that you could call what I've done a career, but with Nathaniel, you can certainly call it a career, and he can call it a retirement. And it was a fun ride, and we've gone tiebreaker many times, and we've had fun battles. And like many of those times, he won, and he beat the shit out of me in the tiebreaker. Not from lack of trying, I gave it my best shot, but he did it. So shout out to him. I don't know that he'll ever hear this, but he's been a good friend. He is a good friend. It's not like he's dying or anything. He's just not going to be playing the tournaments, which is, I guess, good for everyone, because he's always a tough guy to have to play. So, it's been fun competing on the court with him, and there's not very many people in the sport that play the game with as much integrity and honesty. You know that you're always it's going to be a fair game out there. He's going to play fair with you. He's not going to try to cheat you on calls. He's going to go with what he thinks, and he'll overrule the ref in against his favor if he thinks that a call went in his favor that shouldn't have went in his favor. He's very He plays fair, and then I don't know that I know a single player out there that makes an effort to play fair more than he does, to a fault sometimes. It was fun. It was not fun losing, but that match was fun, even in the losing effort. And you get by with a little help from your friends. So doing a lot better now. Unemployment Hour. Figure we should do a podcast here at some point. I've been trying to get the boys out for an Unemployment Hour, but it's just been tough. I'm sure that Chris is at Slow Pitch, but hey, I'll get him. I'll try to get him to join me on the Unemployment Hour. Let's see what we can conjure up here. I will not read his phone number out loud on the air, but that would be funny, and then you could call him. Okay, let's see what we get. Let's see if he's not at Slow Pitch yet. I'm trying to get him to do a show with me for a while. Sounds like he's not there. Well, that's riveting. Riveting material on the Unemployment Hour.
Hello, you've reached the mailbox
Yeah. All right, let's try Bob. Let's try to get a hold of Bob. Spent 15 years getting loaded, 15 years till his liver exploded. Now it's Bob. Okay, let's hear. Let's give it a go. Hey, Charlie, maybe Uncle Bob will answer. Motherfucker!
You have reached.
Cocksucker, Charlie. There's nobody home. It's just you and me. You're my only friend, Charlie. Oh, good boy, kisses. Oh, Charlie, where's your tail? Where's your tail, Charlie? Oh, good boy, get your tail. He knows a trick. Lisa and I taught Charlie how to catch his tail, so I don't know if it makes him look like the smartest dog in the world or the dumbest dog in the world. I don't know many dogs that will chase their tail when you ask them to chase their tail, but he does, so that's pretty neat. Shout out to Josh. Josh Kyle. He might be moving here in August. I hope for the best for him, so if it's not a better move for him to move here, if something better comes up, then obviously has my blessing. But shout out to Josh. I don't know if he's even listening to the show anymore, but if he is, I would love to start a podcast with you, Josh. We'll call it The Two Buds. Remember that time? One time we're hanging out on Facebook or whatever, and he sends me a message. He goes, yeah, I came up with a name for a doubles team, and we should get shirts. I go, okay. He goes, yeah, we'll be called The Two Buds. It's like, I just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. It was so fucking dumb and stupid and whatever, whatever. But I thought it was really, really funny. So Josh and I should make the Two Buds podcast. And we'll talk about everything. And I guess we can talk about nutrition too. I might hire Josh as a nutritionist, actually. My racquetball coach was giving me, I roomed with him. He was giving me the gears about my diet being too high glycemic and that I need to eat more meat because I get hungry very easily, especially when I'm playing. And he was giving me the gears about, oh yeah, you need to eat more meat. Everything you eat is so high glycemic. Like the other food, you know, you can eat, you need to eat more protein. I would really like to do a count of your protein so that, you know, we can know what's going on there. You know, the stuff you eat just doesn't stick to your bones the way stick to your ribs the way the other stuff does. And he might be right, but I think there's a need for carbohydrates as an athlete as well. And I do feel like I'm getting a fair bit of protein as well. I'm not totally vegetarian. My wife's a vegetarian, pretty much makes me a vegetarian, but she's not even eating vegetarian right now because the baby's on the way. And I don't know. It got a little old. It's a little off-putting. Maybe it's just because I roomed with them for the entire week. But it kind of rubbed me the wrong way when it happened more and more. I put some Oreos in my oatmeal because the breakfast that we had at the hotel had Oreo crumbles. I mean, I'm going to eat my oatmeal to be healthy, but it's pretty hard to pass up on oatmeal crumbles. Oreo crumbles. So I put some of them in my oatmeal, and oh, you're so high glycemic. And I kind of shut down and stopped talking. And he kind of noticed that. And he's like, oh, yeah, little butthurt. He didn't say butthurt. He's a Christian, so he wouldn't say something like that. But I don't know. It just, whatever. I was losing. I was grumpy. And, you know, having the same conversations can get old sometimes. Whatever. I'm just saying that, you know, Josh actually has expertise in diet, so maybe I should actually hire him as my actual dietitian, because he knows his shit. So we can talk about diet. We can also talk about all kinds of shit, because Josh is a smart guy, and he's a funny guy, and he's my bud. So Two Buds Podcast. There's my pitch, Josh. Let me know how you feel about it, and we should start a podcast together. And shout out to my buddy Colin as well. I'd really like to start a movie podcast with you. I know you've got a baby now and you're busy, but I'll come to you. I'll come to your house, and I'll provide the equipment, and we can just talk about movies. He is very much into, like, visuals. I am very much into writing and the scripts, dialogue. So we could always have the back and forth about how important the director is, which I think the director is very important. But I think that it all starts with a script. You can't have a movie without a script, unless you're filming a documentary or like a nature film or something. So, you know, in terms of fictional media, you know, I think you need a script. So I'm always, I place a higher importance on writing, and he places a higher importance on directing. So there's always that back and forth, and controversy creates cash, as Eric Bischoff. I'm sure he's not the only one. I would hate to attribute a very witty quote of sorts to Eric Bischoff when there's way more talented people in the writers, or sorry, in the wrestling business than him. I'm sure lots of people have said controversy creates cash. And yeah, so controversy creates cash, so maybe we should get some controversy going, because there sure isn't a lot of cash coming on this show. So one more thing, I kind of got on a tangent talking about racquetball, so sorry about that if that rubbed you the wrong way and you didn't give two fucks about it, but I got to talk about Rick and Morty. This show is fucking amazing. I just finished the second season of it. I don't know how many of you guys back home are watching it. It's fucking brilliant. It blows my mind in so many ways. I actually rolled a tear on the second episode of the series. Season 1, Episode 2, entitled Lawnmower Dog. It really hit home for me. You know, I have this nice puppy here named Charlie, and it had some stuff to do with dogs. It also had stuff to do with the movie Inception, which is probably, gun to my head, favorite Christopher Nolan. I might like Inception more. I might love Inception more than I love The Dark Knight. That's tough. I love Inception. So it deals with in some Inception stuff, but also deals with dog stuff. And I love my dog, and I love dogs, and I love animals, and it's a hilarious show. But I actually rolled a tear because I just thought of Charlie, you know, and a boy and his dog. There's it's just a nice bond that a boy has with his dog, and that episode dealt with some of that stuff. Watch it. You gotta go. I'm sure I've got, what, 4 listeners. One of them is on a podcast with me, Chris. Watches Rick and Morty, so I don't know if any of you guys listening to this haven't watched it, but tell your friends about it, tell everyone you know. It's so fucking good. I shout out to my buddy Colin. I recommend all kinds of things. I tell him to watch pro wrestling and New Japan and Ring of Honor, and you gotta watch the Young Bucks, and I tell him to watch all this stuff, and I think a lot of it he's not in on, and he starts to kind of doubt my tastes. And, you know, he's tried his hand at a few things. I will stand by. It's South Park. I tell him to watch South Park all the time. He's like, well, you know, rub me the wrong way. Sometimes it's just offensive to be offensive. Of course, that is what he actually sounds like. I recorded me having a conversation about South Park, and that was him. I guess I kind of had a guest on the show. That was my friend Colin. But I stand by Rick and Morty. It's incredible. Sci-fi, amazing sci-fi, hilarious, amazing characters. It's just unbelievable. So if you haven't started watching it yet, you gotta get on it. It's so good. I've tried to be ramped up on the energy. Sorry if my energy sounds a little bit low. I need a nap. I got to ump a doubleheader tonight. 6:30 and 9, so I will be up late again. If you guys hear this, it's my night for movie night tomorrow, and I don't know what to pick. I'm thinking about Dogtooth. That's the guy who did The Lobster. It's his movie before that. It might be his debut movie. Time Crimes. That's Nacho Vigalondo, the guy who did Colossal, which I still haven't seen, but I think it's his first movie. Apparently it's really good. I'm thinking about showing Red State, Kevin Smith's Red State. I love that movie. I don't know that Jess and Colin will, but it's Michael Parks, and he's passed away, and he's amazing in that movie, and I'd like to kind of give him a homage of sorts. The Big Short. I'm thinking about Ex Machina. What else? The Peanuts movie. I just don't know what to pick for movie night. And the rules are two people out of the four of us have to have not seen the movie, and it can't be both members of a couple. So if Lisa and I haven't seen a movie, we can't pick that movie for movie night if Jess and Colin have seen it, because then it's like, well, you're making these people watch this movie that they've already seen. Why don't you just watch that movie at home by yourself with just the two of you? Have a special sexy date night. Or a you know, whatever kind of date night you want. It could be a totally, it could just be a work-related date night where it's not even a date night. It could not be a date night. It could just be homework, you know. This movie we've heard is really good. We can't force Jess and Colin to see it again because they've already seen it. So we gotta, you know, just platonically watch this movie even though we're husband and wife. Or you have a date night and you get out the red panties and the oils and the food and you order your food, your delicious food, or you go out for a nice meal at an Indian restaurant and you take a bunch of gas suppressants so you don't fart in each other's faces during the movie and you have a nice get-together, but we don't want to force them to have to see a movie they've already seen. So if you have any suggestions, get them in to me by 5 o'clock June 2nd, because I don't know what to pick. Maybe Focus? I really loved the movie Focus. Again, I'm not sure that anyone else will. I don't know. Maybe it was like a guilty pleasure thing. I really liked it, though. I loved it, actually. Maybe I was nuts feeling that way. Maybe it's not a 5-star, but I loved that movie. I thought it was really cool. Will Smith, Margot Robbie. Anyways, maybe I'll show that, but and have them tell me I'm an idiot for loving that movie. I don't know, but anyways, I meant to talk. Well, I don't know. I wanted to talk about getting by with a little help from your friends and Rick and Morty, and I wanted to call for some guests. So I guess I got everything I wanted to accomplish. I played Lagwagons May 16. I hope I don't get sued for that. So I guess that's it. That's all. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Unemployment Hour. Sorry it's been so long. I'll try to be better. I don't know when we're going to get a grown man coloring in. Those guys are fucking busy right now, but I guess I can do a Unemployment Hour sometime soon. Maybe I can talk Colin into doing a movie podcast pilot with me tomorrow. We'll just do our first one and see how it goes. And maybe I'll get that released for you guys. But anyways, thanks for listening. I hope I haven't scared all you guys away with the big long wait in between podcasts. But hope you enjoy this one. Thanks a lot for listening. Follow us, Grown Men Coloring. Look us up on iTunes with Coloring. GMCpod.podbean.com, as well as at GMCpod on Twitter. And send us some love. GMCpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, like, let us know segments you want, or write us a script, write us a little short one-act play, and maybe we'll act it out for you on the show. Or, you know, the sky's the limit for Trevor Webb and for Grown Men Coloring and for the Unemployment Hour and for the Unemployment Hour Bonus Train and for the Two Buds Podcast and for the yet-to-be-named Colin and Lee Movie Night Show Pod. So, yeah. Thanks for listening. Have a great one. Have a great weekend. Bye.